We're here at the 2012 Commodity Classic. With me now is Alan Tracy with U.S. Wheat Associates, and we're going to talk a little bit about the export market for wheat. And Alan, tell us about what are some of the hot markets right now for wheat.
One of the surprising ones is the South Asian market. Compared to last year, our exports are down because last year we had the unusual situation of Russia being out of the market. So in spite of things being down, it's interesting that in Asia we continue to do very well. And I just returned from the Philippines, where we celebrated the 50th anniversary of our having an office there in Manila. Working with that market, helping them. It's a rice-eating country. It's a relatively poor country. But working with them to introduce new products and things made out of U.S. wheat. Quite remarkably, they have sort of under the radar become our fourth or fifth largest wheat export market over the years. They buy about, this year it's going to be 95% of their wheat is coming from the United States. So it really is a long-term success story of building relationships with their millers and helping them all the way through the process. And it's generated some tremendous loyalty. The largest bakery in the Philippines, Gardenia, insists on having 100% U.S. wheat for its products. And, you know, that means something to our producers.
That's a source of pride then. Well, how important is the export market for U.S. wheat growers?
It's actually more important for wheat than it is for any of the other major commodities, except perhaps cotton. The U.S. exports normally about half of our crop. We don't dominate the market like we used to in corn and soybeans. We're about 30% of world trade, still the largest exporter. But it's also where the price is determined. Our U.S. market is stable, very important, obviously, but relatively flat. And so our growth potential is where the 95% of all the consumers in the world are, and that's outside of our borders.
Well, now with the Russian situation last year, you think that's going to impact this year's planting season?
What impacts this year's planting season is what farmers perceive as their potential price come harvest time. Corn has been tight, as you well know, and that has helped us. And we have lost acreage. Wheat has lost acreage in the United States to corn and to soybeans as those crops have moved north and west. Overall, though, we've still maintained about the same size harvest. And their exports have stayed relatively strong. We think, though, that there is an opportunity for increased growth because the markets in the parts of the world, the tropical parts of the world, South Asia is a key among them, but the Middle East as well, in most of the humid tropics, they don't grow wheat. And yet that's where the populations are growing the fastest. So the amount that's traded is going to grow a lot faster than the amount that's consumed. The amount consumed is growing a little faster than population, but the amount traded is, we've estimated, is going to be up 60% by 2030. So this is a growth market for producers. And the advantage we have is in our many classes of wheat and our high qualities of wheat, we have the things that producers want. The Philippines, or I'll back up to next door to Indonesia, used to be almost entirely an Australian market because it's so close. But because they now have a high end of their market that produces high quality breads and rolls for the hotel trade and for an emerging middle class, and because they make cookies and crackers and cakes that are best made with our soft white wheat from the Northwest, the U.S. now has about a 40% share in the Philippines, even though we face a very substantial disadvantage in tariff to Australia. So we aren't always going to be the cheapest wheat in the world, and seldom are, actually. But we do have the greatest variety and high quality that provides good value. So what we're out there selling our customers on is the value and the reliability of U.S. wheat.
Now, you mentioned that you were celebrating your 50th anniversary with your office in the Philippines. How many other countries do you have? Does U.S. Wheat Associates have offices?
We have offices in 15 different countries outside of the United States, heavily to Asia, but also North Africa, the Middle East. We have a couple in South America. We actually have three of them in Africa. So we represent the producer. U.S. Wheat is supported by the checkoff funds that come from farmers that are invested in us by the farmers that run those state boards from 19 states. And we're very pleased that they choose to do their export marketing together in a unified way through U.S. Wheat Associates. We also partner with the U.S. Department of Agriculture that provides funds for some of our overseas projects.
Well, overall, what kind of mood would you say the growers are in? Are the prices looking good? I mean, do you think that this is going, that they're in a good mood right now?
Right at the moment, prices are higher than they've been. Things have been very volatile. You know, we went through the previous, up until late 2007, we had not had more than, I'll use tons, $75 a ton variation in price for the previous 10 years, within a year. All of a sudden, starting in late 2007 and into 2008, we've had price swings that have gone that much in a matter of days. So it's much more volatile. At the same time, that has created good pricing opportunities. I think our producers are generally in a stronger situation than they've been because they did have some good prices to take advantage of at various points, if they had a crop, if they weren't, you know, in Texas, in the middle of a Texas drought or drowned out in North Dakota. So I think our producers are generally strong and have generally good attitude. We've had the support from corn prices that's helped lately. But I think prospects are good, and farm debt tends to be down from what it used to be as a percentage of assets. So I think the industry has gotten stronger.
Any other projects that you want to talk about as far as U.S. Wheat Associates is active in besides promoting exports?
We also work on trade policy matters, work with the U.S. government on that, and work with the National Association of Wheat Growers. We don't lobby. They do the lobbying side on the Hill, but we do work together on a lot of things. One of the key issues that we're working on right now relates to the fact that the Canadian Wheat Board is going to lose its monopoly here at on the 1st of August. And I'm sorry, you did distract me, and I just got lost my train of thought. That's okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything bad, but that's fine. Let me start over.
Okay, so we were talking about the Canadian Wheat Board.
Yes, the Canadian Wheat Board is slated to lose its monopoly on the 1st of August, and that's something that we've been eager to see happen over the years. At the same time, that change is going to cause some changes for our producers and some changes in the marketplace, and we're doing our best to get ready for that. We're working with the Canadian Embassy in Washington, the U.S. Embassy there, with some Canadian grower groups to try to make sure that there is a perception of fairness in both directions across the border. The National Association of Wheat Growers and U.S. Wheat Associates both voted to support an open border with fair bilateral trade opportunities in both directions. And it will make sense occasionally for wheat to go north. I mean, mostly wheat does come south. We are Canada's largest single wheat customer. But if you're a farmer located on the border and there's an elevator that's on the north side that's closer to you than one on the U.S. side, you ought to be able to use it. And we're trying to make sure that that things do flow in a way that so that the market and location and price drives what happens rather than politics.
Well, as far as trade issues are concerned, we did see a couple of new trade agreements finally pass last year. Is that going to help wheat growers?
The wheat growers were particularly involved in the agreement with Colombia. We brought Colombian millers to the U.S. NOG took them around to our congressmen. We've been pushing very hard for that agreement. Colombia has, over the years, been our largest customer in South America and the South American continent. And we stood to lose that trade entirely. from a logistics standpoint, it's almost like they're on an American lake. It really doesn't make sense for them to buy from anywhere else, except if Argentina has a 0% tariff, which they do. If Canada, which said did its own agreement, started after ours and finished before it, by the way, got their tariff going into Colombia down to zero. And ours, Colombia's tariff varies with the price, but let's say 10 to even as high as 30%. Even at 10%, if you face that kind of a disadvantage, you plain lose the trade. You know, the shipping difference doesn't make up for that. So we'd much rather see the market work in a way that is logical, and to us it's logical that we have that market. We helped build it. U.S. Wheat Associates worked with those millers in Colombia over decades to help build an industry in a country that again was not much of a wheat consuming country. So we're very excited to finally have that thing heading towards resolution. We've had a couple of periods this year when we were disfavored. But we are back to shipping significant amounts of wheat into that country and expect to have the lion's share in the future.
All right. Well, great. I think we'll end it there. Thank you very much, Alan Tracy, here at the Commodity Classic in Nashville. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.